Again, thanks very much for coming to our gospel service. I'm going to read a very well-known passage with you, and I'm going to start off in Luke chapter 18, please. Luke chapter 18. And what we're going to do is we're just going to jump into the middle of a story, and then I'm going to go to near the end of the chapter. So if we go to Luke chapter 18, please. Luke 18, and we're going to break in at verse 25, and this is the Lord Jesus speaking. He's speaking to his disciples, and he says, "For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard said, "Who then can be saved?" And we're going to go over to verse 31. "And Jesus took unto him the 12 and said, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as Jesus was come nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out so much the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus saith unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw, gave praise unto God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree for to see him, for he was to pass by that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us this afternoon. I probably read there three different stories, but I just want to paint the picture to you this afternoon. And I want to I'm getting tongue-tied here. I want to paint a picture with one word. And that word is what the Lord Jesus said. And it's the last word we read. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost. I want to talk about lost today. Because I read a question, I was just reading through this chapter, and this chapter 18 is such an amazing chapter. It talks about people in authority, it talks about poor widows, it talks about children, it talks about young men, it talks about religious people, and it talks about irreligious people. And it talks here, we've read the story of a blind man and a man that could see. There's so many comparisons we could look on here, and I'm sure if you ever went to Sunday school or a Bible class, I'm sure you could come up here and tell me the story of Zacchaeus better than I can. And good on you. That's fine. I'm not bothered with that at all. I want to think this afternoon, do you remember what the disciples, when this rich young man came to the Lord Jesus, and he was told, he fell down before the Lord Jesus, and he said, "Good Master, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus spoke, looked at him, had compassion upon him, and he says, "You know the commandments." And he says, "I've done all this from when I was a wee boy. I've done all this from my youth up." And the Lord Jesus said, "One thing thou lackest. Go sell all that you have and take up your cross and come follow me." When he heard that, he was very sorrowful and went away. And when the Lord Jesus saw that he was sorrowful, he said, "How hardly have they the trust and riches to enter into the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And the disciples heard it and they said, "Who can be saved? Who can be saved? Who can be saved in New Cumnock today? Who can be saved in Kirkconnell today? Who can be saved in Sanker today? Who can be saved in Auchinleck? And who can be saved in Kilmarnock today?" And what was the Lord Jesus' answer? "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." So I want to think this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and younger folk, I'm going to say children, sadly, there's none in today. Younger folk, I want to think this afternoon about the word lost. Lost. What does it mean to be lost? "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, I woke up this morning, and some of us haven't looked after our teeth very well when we're growing up, and some of us have to get dentures and stuff like that there. I've been to the dentist, had a tooth extraction, and I had to leave my denture out, and you know what? I didn't know where it was. I thought, well, I can't very well come to the meeting this afternoon with no denture. I'll look like Frankenstein. We'll get all the views for all the wrong reasons. It was lost. But you know, there's no big smokes because I've got a spare one. So it didn't really matter. And I've told you the story before. When I came over here from Northern Ireland, I was amazed at all the wee roads and stuff around Dumfries and Galloway. And I would have to do a milking on the weekend as part of the contract I had with that dairy farm. And this is long before sat-nav found its way to my car. So I would come out, instead of going straight up and onto the A76, I would think to myself, "Oh, there's a road goes to the left. I'll duck up this road here and I'll see where it goes and I'll maybe get a shortcut home." And I ended up nearly in Stranraer one day. I was lost, but I was stupid. It didn't really matter. I was able to get back again. And whenever I used to work with the co-op insurance, I was that nervous when the sales manager come. More than often, Bill would say to Joyce, "Has Robert lost his keys again?" I didn't know where they were. I put them down somewhere. "Oh, they're in the house somewhere. They're in the house," but I hadn't a clue where they were. And then finally, the light came on. But this word lost has got a completely different meaning to that. This word lost is a horrible word. It's a terrible word. It means two things. This word lost means that you're separated. You're separated from something. This word lost means that you're perishing. And if you put those two words together, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost. I asked a man to the tent mission in Kirkconnell last week, and he said to me, I couldn't come, Robert, because I'm lost. I'm lost." Well, I says, the good news is that you're exactly why Jesus came. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Well, he says, "I've moved from such and such a place to Kirkconnell and he hasn't found me yet." That man knew what it was to be lost, to be away from God. And he was quite happy to be there. And he now knows that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save him. We have a relation who died this year. And she ended up in a nursing home. And she ended up with dementia. And I was down visiting my mother-in-law. And I heard that woman crying. And I heard that woman wailing. And it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up when I hear the cry of a woman who's lost. Who's lost. She's missed her opportunity to be saved. She's heard the gospel for 50 to 60 years. And her cry was, "Oh God, I'm lost. Save me. Oh God, save me. I'm lost." And I tell you, you need to hear that cry. You need to hear the cry of the damned. She was lost. It was too late for her. And she heard, and she knew that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. The lost. The lost, you know, Luke talks more about lost than any of the other Gospels. 7 times there's lost things in the Gospel of Luke. But this word lost means to perish. It means to be wasted away. It means to be totally abandoned. And Jesus came to seek and to save the abandoned. Jesus came to seek and to save the perishing. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And that's the burden of my heart this afternoon. Are you lost before God? Are you in God's family? If you're not born again, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, the Bible says, and Jesus says, you're lost. You know, you could have looked at this blind man. You could have looked at Zacchaeus and you could have said many things about him. Many good qualities. But the Lord Jesus said, one, he was lost. You could have said many bad qualities. Oh, he was a shifty wee character. Oh, he would take money by false accusation. Oh, he didn't get that big house by being an honest Joe. No disrespect to Joe, but that's a word I use. He didn't get his wealth by honest means. He was a shifty character. But you know what the Lord Jesus said? He's lost. He's lost. And I have come to seek and to save the lost. You know, you could compare these two men. But I want to paint you a simple picture this afternoon. And I'm not very good at painting. You want to see the front of my house? I'm definitely not good at painting. And I'm not an artist. One-dimensional stick men is about as far as I go when it comes to drawing pictures. But I want to paint a picture here of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's told his disciples, he says, we're going to go up to Jerusalem. And everything that was written in the Old Testament about me is going to be fulfilled. I am going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be delivered unto the Gentiles. So what he's saying is the Jewish people, remember what the Lord Jesus, it was said about him in John 1. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And the Lord Jesus tells his disciples in Luke chapter 18, he says, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be delivered to the Gentiles. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be spitefully entreated. I am going to be spat upon. I am going to be scourged. I am going to die. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Now, if that was you, you would be burdened about that. If that was you, that was your sole focus in life. I'm going to make atonement for sin. I'm going to the cross to be the sacrifice for your sins. I'm going to die in your place. I'm going to suffer at the hands of a righteous God. The sins that you have committed, I'm going to take. The sins that you should be punished for, I'm going to take. And that would be your sole focus. But I want to paint a picture this afternoon. So here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells his disciples, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. And all that was written is going to be fulfilled. And he makes a detour. He makes a detour to see two men. He makes a detour to save two men. And I'm amazed at that. I'm amazed at the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would speak to me, that he would save me, that he would bring me into his family. I don't know what that does to you. I don't know what that does to you, but I'm amazed at the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here he is. He's gone up to the cross to die in our place, to be punished in our stead. He's going to die. He's going to be buried, and he's going to rise again. And he takes a detour to Jericho. He takes a detour to two men. And why is that? Well, he's told us. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Now, As I say, if you looked at the blind man that was begging, and here he is, he's sitting in the dust, and he hears the news that the Lord Jesus is coming past, and you would quite rightly look at that man, and maybe you would put John, Luke 19 and verse 10, after the end of Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus at Jericho, and you would say, well, here was a man, he was blind, he had no hope, he had nothing in this world, he was bankrupt before God, and he was bankrupt before men. And you would say, the Son of Man has come to seek that man because he's lost. That man is lost. That man is lost before God. But the Spirit of God doesn't put it like that. He brings the story of the rich man. The rich man, if you looked at him today, he would have a big mansion. He would have loads of friends, a very well-paid job, a very good position in the city of Jericho, probably fabulous holidays, probably his own yacht and all these things here. And you would look at that man and say, how in the world is that man lost? What does Jesus mean when he says this man is lost? And I don't know about you. Maybe you've got all these big plans, what you're going to do, what you're going to be, or what you've done in the past. And you know what the Lord Jesus says? You're lost. You know what the Lord Jesus says? He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's the beautiful picture I want to paint you. That here's the Lord Jesus Christ going to be the mediator between God and men. Going to be the sacrifice. And he takes a detour to go down and see two men. And they say, if you looked at these two men, you would say, well, if ever a man needed saved, it was that blind man. If ever a man needed to get his sight back, if ever a man needed a change in his life, it was that blind man. Because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And he was lost. Oh yes, Robert, that man was totally lost. And he needed salvation. He needed a change in his life. A change in his direction. He needed hope and new life that only Jesus can bring. And that man, I agree with you, Robert, that man was lost. But this other man is the case. All this position and power and wealth and all the rest of it. And Jesus looks at him. And he sees a lost man. He sees a lost man. He sees a man going away from God. He sees a man going into eternity. He sees a man that if he's not saved, he'll never get to heaven. He'll drop into hell and the lake of fire forever. And he's moved. He's that moved that he takes a detour to Satan. He's that moved that he brings a message personally to these men. And he says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's my little gospel message. That Jesus is coming to do God's will, to pay the price for my sin. And he takes a detour to save these two men. The rich man is lost. The poor man is lost. If you're not saved, you're lost. And you're heading to a lost eternity. Oh, don't be like my relation that left it too late. Left it too late, the dementia set in. Didn't even know her name. Hardly knew her family. And she cried, Lord, save me. And it was too late. Too late. But hear the message. Hear the message this afternoon. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The lost need to be found. The lost need to be saved. Are there few that be saved? How do I get saved? With man, it's impossible. What's Jesus saying? You can't do anything to save yourself. You can't do anything to save yourself. You can't give anything to be yourself to be saved. You can't offer to God, I'll do this if you save me. The work has all been done on Calvary's cross. When Jesus Christ died, he rose again the third day. Before he died, he said, it is finished. It is finished. The price is paid. The price is paid. Christ has died. Christ has been buried. And Christ has risen again the third day. No, the Bible says he's able to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God through him, seeing he ever liveth. And my message to you this afternoon is, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus knows exactly where you are. Oh, I'm sitting in Gospel Hall. The Lord Jesus knows exactly where you are spiritually before God this afternoon. The Lord Jesus knows your thoughts of him this afternoon. He knows whether you are a believer or an unbeliever. He knows whether you've been lost or found. But he says, I am come to seek and to save. You know, not one person when the Lord Jesus here was on this earth, not one person who was saved was ever lost. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life and they shall never perish. We don't have time because I have to shoot up to Glasgow shortly. We don't have time to go into these two stories. But I was struck by one or two things. I was struck by their anxiousness to see Christ. What does it say? And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, if ever a person needed mercy, it was that man. If ever a person needed help, it was that man. Here he is, hopeless and helpless. He can't do anything to save himself. And what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? When he cries out for mercy, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus stood and commanded the man to be brought unto him. I was struck by that when I read it to you this afternoon. And Luke 19, verse 5. Here's a man up a tree. And it says Jesus stood and called to him. And I just wonder if the Lord Jesus is calling to you this afternoon. You've been lost. You're in your sins and you need to be found. You need to be cleansed. You need to be forgiven. You need to get right with God. And I just wonder if the Lord Jesus is speaking into your heart this afternoon that you need to be changed. You need to be, if you live and die as you are, you'll go into a terrible place. But Jesus came to seek and save you. That's what he said. Are there few that be saved? The things that are impossible with man are possible with God. You could be saved this afternoon. Oh, don't fall asleep on me. I'm nearly finished. You could be saved this afternoon if you realize you're lost. If you cry out like the man for mercy, the Lord Jesus stopped. The Lord Jesus gave the man his sight back. And I just marvel too as well. Here's a good test if you're lost or if you're found. Here's a beautiful test if you're lost or found. I don't care what you tell me. Oh, I believe this, I believe that, or I believe the other. Here's a true test if your life has been changed. If you have been sought, if you have been found, if you've been brought into the family of God, what does it say in Luke 18:43? It says, immediately he received his sight. What did he do? What did he do? It said he followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw, gave praise unto God. That man's life was changed for time and for eternity. What a change. And I'm sorry, it's just my imagination goes over time sometimes. But can you just imagine? This poor old dirty tramp hasn't been washed since 1982. And here he is, he's following the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing in his newfound sight, rejoicing in his change of life. And he goes into Jericho. And he goes out through Jericho. And he hears Jesus again. And he's calling another man to be found. What does it say in Luke 19 and verse 6? Luke 19 and verse 6, after Jesus says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Make haste. Some of you are sleeping. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. What does it say? And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. His life was changed for time and for eternity. If you tell me you're Christian and you still do the things you used to do, you're still lost. If you still go to the places you used to go, you're still lost, because the Lord Jesus Christ brings a change into people's lives. The Bible tells me if any man be in Christ, or woman, girl or boy, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and everything's become new. Have you had a change in your life? That's the test of whether you're saved or lost, because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. If you're lost, you can be found. Are you lost? Do you want to be found? Are you happy as you are? If you're happy as you are, I don't have a message for you. But if you're searching for peace with God, let me tell you with joy. My face mightn't tell you, but I'm fine.